Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper. All of us as outdoorsmen, we know the importance of children, kids, for the future of the outdoor industry and outdoor enjoyment here in the United States. And I'm delighted to say today that I've got a longtime friend on the program, and he has been, gosh, just a giant of a man in the outdoor industry as far as working with children in the outdoors. Dennis Jasper runs the NAPS program, and that stands for Kids Need a Place to Start Hunting. Dennis, man, it's just a pleasure to have you on the program. We've talked about doing this for years, I think, and we're just now getting ourselves together.
Yes, sir, we have, and it's a pleasure having you here in my home.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful home. I didn't know if we was ever going to get to the podcast or not, because I had to do a little tour and look at all these big deer heads you got hanging around. And, of course, you've told me several stories as we walked through your beautiful home here. You live out in the country. Just got a great little place. But, boy, I tell you, big deer, they still make my heart skip a beat.
Mine too.
Well, Dennis, you've been quite active for a long, long time with this NAPS program. And what year did you start NAPS?
2008.
So yes, sir. That's been a while.
Yes, sir.
You've seen a lot of kids go through this program in those years.
82.
82 kids. Well, what inspired you to start the NAPS program?
Well, kind of a little of a background story. I've been a carpenter all my life, was doing that for 40 some years. And I had a really bad fall, stepped off a subfloor, went 15 feet down, landed on my head on concrete.
Oh boy.
And so they disabled me 100%. And that was in 2005. And 2008, I said, man, if I don't do something, I'm going to be 350 pounds just sitting around the house. And so I love to hunt. I love the outdoors, and I love kids. And my kids are all grown. And, of course, they've all hunted with me and stuff over the years. But I had a buddy of mine, and him and I just, I said, you know what? I said, let's start taking kids into the outdoors. You know, let's take some kids and, you know, let them deer hunt and turkey hunt. And when we first started, and I know you remember Bill down at Doolittle had the bow shop down there at Doolittle there in that big red building.
Oh, yeah.
When we first started the program, I loved a bow hunt, and I wanted the kids to bow hunt. So Bill opened up his archery to us. He let the kids use the bows, let them use the arrows, all that kind of stuff. Well, unfortunately, we could not get the parents on board to bring the kids to practice. And you know, as an archer, you've got to practice with a bow.
Absolutely.
So I said, no, we're not going to do that, because the last thing I want to do is feed coyotes. I want to make sure the deer are hit and make sure they can make good ethical shots on them. So then we just did start doing just... And never took any bow hunting. Didn't take any bow hunting, but one. I took one kid, and he was using a crossbow. And he made a shot at 25 yards. Deer fell in front of us. So
wow. He
did good. But other than that, you know, all these kids were using compound bows, and they just wouldn't practice and wouldn't shoot. And I said, no, we're not going to do that. So we just started just gun and gun hunting only. And what we do is... we do kids that are single mom, single dad, disabled, handicapped kids, and kids that just don't have the opportunity to get in the outdoors. You know, there's a lot of mom and dads that don't hunt. There's grandma, grandpas that live with don't hunt. So we take those kids, and what we do is I was a hunter safety instructor for 9 years. I've been in law enforcement almost 25 years. So safety is our number one concern.
Absolutely.
And so I was a hunter safety instructor for 9 years from Missouri Department of Conservation. So I make them come right here where you see here, Bill. And I've got a garage out there. I take them out there in that garage. I make them go through about an hour and a half class, gun safety, gun handling, orientation, all that kind of stuff, what they can expect from us, what we expect from them. And, you know, and then we got 100 yards range right here. They shoot right here with 243s. And they all shoot. All the guns are topped with the same scope. So whatever gun they shoot here is the same optics they use when they're out in the field with one of my members.
Oh, well, that makes it very nice and concise for them. And it's really neat that you've got basically the course set up right here on your own property.
Exactly.
Wow, makes it handy for you.
It does, and I did that just for that reason. I put a pond down here at the end of my house and took 96 trees out of there to make that pond, but I also wanted to make it where it's clear where I could have, and I wanted, that was my whole goal to do that, and I've got big mounds of dirt behind it, and the actual target itself is made out of 7x9 railroad ties.
Wow.
And then it's got a casement around it and stuff. So, yeah, we've been shooting on it for quite a few years now. And there's no holes, no nothing to the back of it, nothing like that. And then I've got woods behind that also, too. So it's definitely 100% safety. And something I want to add before we get further on, we are a 501c3. I knew that was one of your questions.
Absolutely.
We are we didn't used to be. We was for a little while, then we got out of it because I had some people in the program that just weren't doing what we needed to do. So now we're back, and I've got some really good people now. I've got law enforcement, military, EMS, and firefighters in my program.
Wow, doesn't get any better than that.
No, and they're, of course, they've all had background checks and all that kind of stuff, so they're good people, and they're outdoorsmen. So that really helps, and we are insured with two $1 million policies on our program through American Hunting Lease Association. So there's nothing that goes back onto our landowners. And none of our landowners charge us to hunt on their farm. They all let us hunt there. And if we have to cut wood or box blade a driveway or something like that, you know how that works.
You just
work it out, you know, and they just love it. And of course, one of our rules is when a kid kills a deer on a guy's farm, we ask them, do you want deer meat? If he says yes, half of a backstrap has to go to that landowner.
That's an incredible part of a program. Now, that's teaching kids value of not only the animal, but of a relationship with a landowner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what we tell them.
I can't think of a better way to do it, you know. And that's a difficult thing for a lot of people to learn. I know as experienced as you are in the outdoors, and I've seen it many times over, and I've had it happen to me a time or two. I get a new place to hunt, you don't know. Take a buddy, and buddy goes back. Buddy kills something. Buddy doesn't tell the landowner, and then what happens next? The landowner's calling me upset. I've had that happen a couple of times. So I'm very careful about taking people to places that I hunt. And you probably learned that lesson as well.
Oh, yes.
So what a valuable lesson to teach children, the kids that hunting under your program. You're making it very clear to them that, hey, that landowner, you know, he owns this place. He's worked to pay for it. He loves it. He might like deer meat too, but may not have time to deer hunt. And what a good feeling it has to give the kids. I know it does you. I know it does me when I share a harvest with a landowner. So that's a great and valuable lesson for the kids to learn.
Absolutely.
Kudos for doing that.
Thank you. And again, you know, we try to make sure that the kids learn and understand that you treat it as if it's your place. If you walk in and you see a can or a piece of trash or something, pick it up and bring it out with you. Leave it better than you find it. Boy, always.
That is a great, great philosophy. And Dennis, you know my heart, man. I believe in these programs wholeheartedly because you and I are seeing things today that 20, 30 years ago and me 50 and 60 years ago that I would have never, ever dreamed I would have seen happen here in the United States. Only about 4% of Americans hunt today.
That's correct.
Wow, that's kind of hard for me to swallow.
And if you look back in when all this first started and all the hunting was starting is, that's how people survived. That's how they lived. We come from a time when you went to school, your gun was in your pickup truck.
Absolutely.
And you hunted either on the way to school or on the way home or wherever, yeah, or before or after work. And nobody cared you had a weapon in your, exactly, in your vehicle. Nobody cared. And we never, you can go back in history, there weren't any school shootings.
No, not whatsoever. And I can remember being in high school and somebody'd get a new little shotgun or 22 rifle or something. They had it in their pickup truck. The principal would come out and look at it.
Yeah, or you bring it in on show and tell.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you'd see them in the classroom. There wasn't any such things as official hunter education courses, but we still had them.
Exactly.
And,
yep.
And who was teaching them? Hey, maybe the school principal, maybe it was dad,
uncle, counselor, one of those guys,
whomever. But everybody were comfortable with weapons.
Absolutely.
I don't know what happened, how this culture got started, but not fond of it. But hey, you're doing great things, and the guys that you work with are doing great things to help relieve some of these problems and to properly teach kids, to give them a good basic foundation, hunter safety, hunter ethics, game identification, how to process that game. Now there's a complete course in itself.
And let's go over that for a second, Bill. I think I talked to you about this before, but we are right now in the process, right behind that garage. I've got a place already that's been pulled out with the a skid steer. It's got gravel in it. It's got a drain in it. This year, we're putting in a 16x20 walk-in cooler.
Oh, my goodness. That's just incredible. Now, that's quite an extension of a program. I've worked in a lot of programs over the years that involved hunts.
Right.
Hey, the kid kills, and we're usually off somewhere, you know, and a kid kills an animal, where it's a deer, a turkey, rabbit, whatever, ducks, doves. We've hunted a lot of different things. But it's kind of up to that kid and their parent that's with them to take care of that animal. We'd help them skin a deer or whatever, but they got to get it cut up, get it in a cooler, and then transport it home. You're self-contained.
What our goal is, of course, you know yourself, we don't let the kids, the kids we do are from 8 to 15 years of age. Conservation says 6 to 15. I personally don't think 6 and 7-year olds are just quite, you know, ready to really handle that type of responsibility. And something I really got to cover here before I get to talk about this cooler is when we go to a deer blind or a deer shooting house, and that's something we need to say too, we supply everything to the family. There's no expense to the families whatsoever. We cover guns, ammo, heated shooting houses, food plots, tags, and processing. So there's no expense to the families. And of course, anything they harvest, they get to meat.
Wow.
So, and then like I said, what we're wanting to do this year, and obviously we should have had it done last year, but my buddies are going to do the concrete work stuff for me. We're just working too many hours. And when you guys are donating their time to you, you can't be too, right. You know. So, but what our plan is like I said, we want to take them out, let them shoot the deer. And now we will show them how to field dress the deer. We won't let them do that because, you know, I say, you know yourself, if you're doing that, that's when the chances are you're going to cut your fingers.
Yep. So I've done it myself.
We all have. If you've hunted any amount at all, you've cut your fingers.
Yeah.
So, and then after that, we're going to bring them here. We got three meat bulls down here we're going to put up. And then they're going to come here, hang them, and we're going to go step by step. Cut this. Show them how to skin the deer. Then we're going to show them how to take the front shoulders off, take the back strap off, take the hind quarter off, take the rib meat and all that stuff out, put it in the cooler. And then have them come back at the appropriate time. And we're going to show them how to make burgers, steaks, all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to have everything here so they can wrap it. And then they take it home.
Am I too old to get in your program?
No.
You said 8 to 15. I left that bracket many decades ago. But what an awesome, awesome program. There's just nothing that you haven't covered in it.
I have tried so hard to cross all the T's and dot the I's. And like I said, with the people that I got in my program that really helped me out, and we've got several restaurants. I got to give a shout out to them. I've got Lee's Chicken in Rolla. Jason has been my friend since 2008, has been on board. Anytime awesome. We deer hunt, turkey hunt, he lets us bring in the kids, the parents, and the members. And Fetus and Country Bob's here in St. James. He's
awesome
on board
place.
With us. Sitting Bull down in Bale, they're on board with us. So like I said, we've got these people that help us. And anytime we go in, and I got to give a shout out to Big Bear Processing over in Vienna the last couple of years. We've taken deer down on Saturday. He's had a deer back to me on Wednesday.
Wow.
So just boom, 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 gets knocked out. And just great. So Ben and the guys down there really treat us good. And like I said, it's just one of those things that people see what we're doing. And like I said, we've been doing this now for, 16 years, 17 seasons now. So they see that what we're doing, we're not a fly-by-night. We've been doing it for a while. And we do have a Facebook page, Knapps Hunting Facebook page. You can see the kids going through the class. You can see them shooting the guns. You can see them in the field. You can see them hunting. You can see them over the deer and the smiles on those faces is why we do what we do.
That has got to be a great reward. And I have to tell you, you remember this. It's probably been close to a decade ago when I first came across you. I was writing for Bass Pro Shops at the time, and I wrote an article about the Knapps program that went on the Bass Pro website. And shortly after that thing went up, within a few months, That was one of the most popular articles ever to go on Bass Pro's website.
And you told me that before, and I was really honored that you and I got to do that, and you got such a response to it.
Really did. It was an incredible response. Well, folks, don't go away. We're going to take just a short break here to hear from some of our sponsors, but Dennis, Jasper, and I are going to be back to talk more about the NAPS program.
Hi, I'm Steve Stoltz with Drury Outdoors, and you're listening to Living the Dream Outdoors Podcast with Phil Cooper and Hunter Heineman.
Hey, this is John from CoAngler.com. Did you know that CoAngler.com is the newest online platform to connect anglers for fishing trips? You can create your free account, offer and request fishing trips, connect with anglers in your area, share some costs, share some knowledge, and share a great time in the outdoors. Whether you're fishing from a boat and you got an extra seat and want somebody to come with you, or you need some help shuttling those kayaks for your next float trip, CoAngler is a great way to connect with like-minded anglers in your area for a great time out on the water. So get on CoAngler.com and let's go fishing.
Hey there, listeners. At Conservation Federation of Missouri, we're more than just advocates for our environment. We're active in making a difference through hands-on programs that protect and preserve Missouri's natural resources. By becoming a member, you're supporting impactful initiatives like Share the Harvest, which provides venison to families in need, and Operation Game Thief, which helps combat poaching and protects our wildlife. You're also contributing to the RISPR grants, which fund local conservation projects across the state. Your membership makes these vital programs possible, ensuring that we continue to serve both our communities and our environment. Plus, as a member, you'll receive updates on these programs, invitations to exclusive events, and the opportunity to get involved in the work you care about most. Visit confedmo.org/join to learn more and to join us today. Together, we can support programs that protect Missouri's wildlife, waters, and way of life. Be a part of the Conservation Federation of Missouri, where action leads to conservation.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the Northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
Hey everybody, this is Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors. Check out my buddy's podcast show, Living the Dream Outdoors with Bill Cooper and Hunter Heineman. You're really going to enjoy this week's show.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I hope you got to hear that first segment. I'm with Dennis Jasper of the NAPS program. That's Kids Need a Place to Start Hunting. And Dennis has been at it for 17 years. And Dennis, you've run dozens and dozens of kids through an incredible program, extremely well done. And I think the success speaks for itself because of the people that you've got working with you and the people who are supporting you.
Absolutely. We can't do it by ourselves. We have to have the help. We have to have the landowners. And like I say, with the different restaurants and stuff with people and that feed us and stuff like that. And something that's very important that I needed to add into this here is when we take these kids hunting, we try to make it a point to make sure a parent comes with us. And we do that because if I just take out a child and he gets a deer, comes home and tells him about it, it's not the same as if they're sitting right there watching and living it with him, because then they'll have that memory in both their minds forever. And that's why it's so important that, you know, of course we do the single mom, single dad family. So, you know, there's a lot of moms, kids live with mom, kids live with dad, and, or they split them up, whatever. So we try our best. If for whatever reason, and I told you, you know, I'm in law enforcement. Right. So we try our best because sometimes mom and dad aren't allowed around each other.
Right.
Because of ex parte orders and things like that.
Right.
So we make it happen so that mom can bring your kid one time and then dad can bring another kid the the other time. That way we're not there at the same time, and we're not trying to do anything to break that law and get somebody in trouble, because we don't want that to happen. So, and we always work with them. And I'll tell you what, it's so funny, because once we get these parents out there and they're sitting there, and like I said, the shooting houses, I haven't showed you the pictures of them, but we've got some pretty cool shooting houses. They're all heated. The kids themselves sit in an office chair, because we learned a valuable lesson when we first started. I know you've done this too. How many times have you sit in a fold-out chair and looking out this way and the animal's behind you?
Exactly.
You got to stand up, turn around, move the chair, sit back down. So with an office chair, all we have to do, and my rule, stickler, I'm stickler for this, no coats, no backpacks, no nothing on the floors. Everything, there's hangers in every one of them. They got to have, when I come in, if you take your coat off, hang it up.
Another detail.
Exactly. And that way, because you know yourself, slips, trips, and falls is one of your biggest issues.
Absolutely. And I actually had a kid, he was kind of related to me on a hunt one time in a chair like that, one of those old folding chairs, and big buck come up behind him. And his attempt to turn around in that chair, turn the chair over, yeah. And, you know, roll in the side of his blind, and he's got a weapon in his hands.
Exactly.
Not a good scene. So, yeah, I commend you for thinking of those officers. I like them, too.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and, you know, everybody just on to us and said, hey, you know, you're ruining these kids by putting them in them heated shooting houses. I said, no, I'm making those kids want to stay out there longer, because if it's bad weather, cold, something like that, you get an 8 to 15-year-old kid, if they're cold, not freezing, not seeing anything, they're not going to go back.
Boy, a great, great point. And I don't know how many articles I've written, Dennis, over the years about that very thing. Is you take a child hunting, particularly for the first time, you know, you're not taking them out there for a marathon.
No.
Hey, if they're cold or uncomfortable or whatever, they're going to want to give it up and come back. Yep. And I can't tell you how many hunts I've given up on a little bit too early. But rather than make the child miserable, hey, give it up. You know, try something different. Do it differently next time.
And that's a good point you just made. If they're ready to go, they're ready to go. If you try to force them and make them stay, you're going to push them away from it.
Exactly. You have to be very, very careful about that. And I'm sure you're an expert at this. You have to learn to read the child as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're all different.
You betcha they all are.
And unique.
and you know, it was what's so, and I know you've seen this over the years, Bill. What's so fun for me is, like I said, we get down there and we film them while they're shooting the guns and all that. Of course, we go over all that. You know, you take your breath, you hold it, you squeeze it, you don't use a joint on your finger, you use a pad on your finger and all that. And them boys will come in there with the attitude, oh, yeah, I can do this, I can do this. And them girls will outshoot them boys
I've seen that.
I know
that
you have.
Program I worked in many years ago up in North Missouri, just an incredible place of people that put the programs on 20,000 acres.
Wow.
You can imagine that. But great facilities and all. But we had like 13 kids come in one time. I think it was 7 girls and 6 boys. We had 7 deer harvested, all killed by girls.
Yep.
I'm telling you, if they didn't rub it in, those poor boys, I actually felt sorry for them.
Yep.
But they did. They really put it on them, boy. But girls are awesome, make awesome hunters. And you know why? Because they tend to do what?
They listen to what you say.
Amen.
They pay attention to detail.
Yep.
And they listen. They just sit there and they take it all in, and they do. And I mean, and we do. I make it a point to go over the do's and don'ts of how to shoot the gun, how to hold the breath, how to let it out, hold it, squeeze it, don't jerk it. You should never know when that gun's going to go off.
Right.
Just squeeze that trigger. And I go over that when I'm standing down there with them at the range. And like I said, we still have such a good time with the guys. And with my guys that I have, I'm very fortunate. I've got a military mom now that goes out with us. She's one of our members, and her and her husband, they're part of our program. So she goes out with girls, so it makes it easy. So now we got her, we got another female. And I got to tell you this too. I know we didn't cover this earlier on the first part, but I got to let you know, this is a Christian run organization.
Awesome.
There can be no foul language. There can be no smoking or chewing, nothing like that from any of the members to show the kids that they can do that kind of stuff. And we've been very fortunate. We've had 7 give their hearts to Jesus in a deer stand.
Wow.
So And then again, you know, being Christians, our number one rule is to witness. And if we don't do that, then we're failing. But we get out there, and I'm bad for doing it. I love to do it. I love my Lord. I love my Lord Jesus Christ. He allows me to do what I do.
Right.
And so, but it's one of those things, no matter what it is where you are, if you're talking to somebody, you can tell if they want to hear it or not.
Right.
If they don't, I cease. I just let it go.
Right.
Because I don't want to force them into something or make them think I'm pressuring them or anything like that. I just pray. And I always talk to, and we pray before the hunt, and we pray after harvest. And I share that with the parents in the class and all that. It was so cool. I got to tell you this. This last year, we had 7 kids, and they were all Christians.
Wow.
And what was cool, when we were in there, we always pray before we start our meeting. One of the kids prayed. So to have that group, yeah, to have that group going out and not having any issue, but you know, you're praying before the hunt, and then when you get a deer harvested, you know, you go over and we got to thank him because he's right. The one.
The creator. It amazed,
go ahead.
The creator.
Absolutely. Exactly, creator.
And I'm a big believer in the creation and the fact that God created all of these things for us to enjoy.
Absolutely. You know, and the craziest thing is that I've heard a few Christian people say, why are you killing those deer? The Lord put them on this earth for us to look at. And I said, well, I'm just going to say this, and that's all I need to tell you. Read Genesis 27, verse 3. Well, what's that say? Take thy quiver. Come to thee, I pray, take thy quiver and thy bow, go out to the field and harvest me some venison.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any plainer than that.
Absolutely right. But Dennis, I got to tell you, I've known you long enough, and you know, probably more so than me, is the fact that a kid needs to feel comfortable around the folks that he's dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that you can very quickly put kids and parents at ease, make them feel like they're at home, and make them feel like they're valuable to the future of hunting in this country.
And it was something we do there too, and I'm glad you touched on that, is it's very important that when I do the class and all that kind of stuff, but my number one rule again is familiarity with other people and stuff, who they're going to hunt with. I don't match them up at 4:30 in the morning. We go to Country Bob's Friday night before deer season, and we all sit there and talk, and I'm watching the kids interact with whoever, and then that gives me more of an idea of, okay, well, you can go with
exactly
whoever. Right. And so far it's worked out good. We've not had any problems. The kids and the members get along really good. And like I said, the people I've got in my program now are just really, really good people. I don't know if you want me to give a shout out to some of them or not.
Absolutely.
I would love to.
I believe in giving credit where credit's due.
Absolutely. This is kind of off the record, but I'm almost a 55-year martial artist, and you know this.
Yes.
Well, my senior student has been with me since 86.
Wow.
He's a 24-year Army veteran, 18-year Department of Corrections veteran, and been my martial arts student since July of 86.
Wow.
When he got out and got done, he got a hold of me. Master Jasper, I want to help you with your program. Guess who now is my vice president?
Wow.
He's come down the last 2 years, and I mean, really, him and I together has put so much stuff together, it's unreal. But the other guys I have, like I said, and his name is Dale Hale. He lives in Vienna, Jefferson City, Missouri. And he'll drive. I can call him, and he'll be down here an hour and a half if I need him for something. And then I've got
dedication.
Absolutely. Corey Priest and his wife, Evelyn. That's the female veteran I was telling you about. I got Gene Jested. He's my secretary. I've got Rhonda Strong here in St. James. She's a CPA, so she's our treasurer, so she takes care of all that stuff.
Wow.
And then, like I said, I've got my landowners. I've got John and Jan Dorsey. They got 110 acres that we hunt. We got Bradley Wells. He's got 323 acres that we hunt. Mark James, at a realtor in Vienna, he's got 170 acres that we hunt. So we've got all these people to let us hunt. Then I got another land over here, 80 acres, over here in St. James off P Highway. That's for Jenny Wehmeyer. He lets us hunt that farm. And then Kenny Lang's got almost 280 acres off P Highway that we hunt his farm. So all these people, and what's so good is these people are seeing what we're doing when we talk to them. Of course, I tell them about the insurance and all that, so there's no liability to them.
Right.
But when they see what we're doing, not one farm charges us any lease or anything on the farms. So we get to go. Now, if they need a driveway box plated, if they need brush hogging done, if they need some trees cut down, whatever they want down, we'll get together and go and do it for them. And I was so committed, and you know about this, that how committed I am to this program. I believe in it, that 2 years ago, I bought a brand new tractor just for this program.
Wow.
On my own. But that helps me put in food plots. I bought a brand new tiller, a 6-foot tiller behind my tractor, so we can get food plots and stuff in a little better and stuff. And I mean, it's just, you know, I got to give heads up to LS Tractor in Vienna too, because they in down Westphalia, because they've really helped me out and got me some good deals and stuff, really help us out. So like I said, everybody is seeing what we're doing, and it's not just a fly-by-night thing.
Oh, it's been around for a long, long time.
It has. And what I'm really happy about is, I just told you about Corey and Evelyn. They've already told me, and they're in like early 50s, and they've already told me, Dennis, when you're not able to do it anymore, we will keep it going.
There you go.
So,
well, Dennis, we've kind of talked about the guts of the program,
right,
where it came from, why it came about. And you've run dozens and dozens of kids through this program in 17 years. Now, got to ask you a serious, serious question.
Absolutely.
What are some of the things that you've seen happen in kids' lives because of this program?
One of the biggest thing I see, and thanks for social media, most of the kids, a lot of these kids we've taken hunting, of course, are now adults.
Yeah.
And have their own kids. But yet, they send me deer and turkey pictures.
That's awesome.
They send them to me. So
they're still involved.
They're still involved, exactly. And we've got one little young lady, and I got to say, Sheena Spro, she's just a sweet little girl, her and her twin sister, Caitlin. They went with us. They were 11 years old. And now Sheena is 25, and she just came on last year. Now she's one of our people that takes kids hunting.
Wow. Now that's success on top of success.
It is. It is. You know, and like I said, it's just, it amazes me when you see the smiles on these kids' faces when they harvest a deer or a turkey. And it's crazy. Well, what do we do with the meat? You get it. You get to take it home. It's yours. So, and like I said, the parents are very thankful. And if parents are unable, we buy their tags for them. Now, if it's a family that's, you know, doing okay, not a single parent family, stuff like just mom and dad don't or whatever, they're financially able to do that.
Sure.
But if it's a family's not able to do that, we take care of that. We tell them, don't worry about it. Just tell me.
No
question. Only thing I need is the name, date of birth, and Social Security number. We'll get it done.
Get you set up. Well, Dennis, man, that's just an incredible program. And I've watched you. Wow. We've talked many, many hours
we
about
have.
This program, and I've always been very appreciative
off
of what
the record
do. Off the record, exactly. Talk about all the problems, shed a few tears, and
oh man,
and keep on grinding. Well, yep. What's coming up?
Well, we've got spring turkey season coming up, and that's something I didn't touch on earlier. What's, and I know we said about deer hunting and turkey hunting. Well, we take the kids deer hunting in the fall. Mm-hmm. Well, we turn around and take that same exact group of kids turkey hunting in the spring.
Some follow-up,
and whoever took them deer hunting are the ones that take some turkey hunting in the spring. So you're not springing them on somebody new or something like that. They're already familiar with them. They've got it. And when you sit 8, 9 hours, 10 hours in a deer stand, you build a rapport with somebody.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So that you know this more than anybody.
No.
The hours and hours you put in deer stands.
So
that's a bonus that we do. And like I said, we just. Anybody that's been deer hunting and turkey hunting know that turkey hunting is a lot different than deer hunting.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you don't have to be an expert caller, you can just do a few calls. And the biggest thing I tell these kids on either one of them, be patient. Don't try to rush it. Don't try to force it. Because the deer and the turkey decide whether we get to harvest them or not. Because if they don't come in, we can't do it.
No game. Wow. Well, what an incredible program. Well, Dennis, as we wrap it up here, you know, it's a very worthy program, and you've built a following over wow, almost a couple of decades here, a lot of grand support. And, you know, this is kind of a local program.
It is. We're based right out of St. James, Missouri, and we hunt here. And if anybody wants to donate to us, we, like I say, we are a 501c3. I have all the paperwork that I can give you. If you need to reach out to me, you can get a hold of me on social media, Dennis Jasper, or go to Naps Hunting, or you can call me at 573-465-4059. That's my personal phone, and I say I do work in law enforcement, so if for whatever reason I don't answer you, it's because I'm doing something. I'm either transporting or bailiff or whatever I'm doing, but I will get back to you. Leave me your name, your number. And if you've got kids you're going to go with us, give me the names of the kids and the ages of the kids. And then if you want to donate to us, we'll get together and I'll provide the paperwork if you need the paperwork, and we'll make it happen.
Give us that phone number again.
573-465-4059. And again, we're based right here in St. James. And again, if we choose your kids to go hunting with us, get a hold of us. If you've got kids that meet our criteria, 8 to 15, you're a single mom, single dad, disabled, handicapped kid, or just don't have a chance to get out in the outdoors, give me a holler. And if you do, call me around the first part of September this coming year, because if you don't, we've got a hunt coming up in October already. So get with me. Let's get the class done. Let's get the shooting done. Get all that done. And I try to get them where I do most of them in one time. That way I'm not having to do two here, one here, three here. Right. I try to get them all in there, go over the class and all that one time. And we always, and you know, one of the biggest deals, whether you're turkey hunting or deer hunting, is noise. We make sure the kids know when you bring stuff to eat, which you're going to bring snacks and stuff, take your bag of potato chips. That doesn't work. And I tell them, there's not one deer out there that's got a bag of chips. So you've got to put your stuff in Ziploc bags, stuff like that. Right. So when you get them to open up, you're not making noise. We want you to bring treats. We want you to bring snacks, food, whatever you want to do. And we tell them, if you want to bring a sleeping bag and lay down, take a nap, lay down, take a nap. There's no better naps than the ones you get in the woods.
Oh, I'm famous for that.
I don't know how many kids I've woke up. Hey, there's a deer. Yeah. What? There's a deer. Shh, there's a deer.
Yeah.
And that's our cool thing that we do with all the kids. We tell them, whether it's you or the member or the parent, don't go, hey, there's a deer.
Yeah.
All we want you to do is just say, deer.
Yeah.
And then everybody knows. And the way you're looking, we know that's where that deer's coming from. And like I said, we've had some. Can I tell you this story real quick?
Absolutely.
It's the one I just told you a little while ago. I had a young man named Liam, and his grandpa Kenny come with us this year. And it was our first weekend youth hunt. And I'm telling you, this man is 77 years old, and he's hunted all his life, killed a lot of deer. But he just came up and got to be able to go with his grandson this time on this hunt with us. And so we get out there, and I love to rattle. And Bill's sitting here looking at my deer and stuff in my house. I rattle. I use my calls. And I mean, every deer that you see hanging on these walls here, I've rattled and called in. And this gentleman had never done that at 77 years old. And so we're sitting there, and we had a couple of deer come by early, about 7:30 in the morning. I said, oh, let's just wait. Let's just wait. I know there's good bucks here. We just wait. And so it's sure enough, at 8 o'clock, I get my rattling horns up, man. I hit the rattling horns together. Now, you see me, Bill. I'm doing my horns right here while you and I are talking. And I call and grunt and all that kind of stuff, use a doe bleat. And, I mean, it's not 5 minutes later, Grandpa's going, look, 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 look. And sure enough, I said, is it a buck? He goes, yeah. He said, but, man, he looks like he got hit by a car or something. He's all stoved up. And, of course, we're whispering. I said, no, Kenny. I said, he's mad. He's got his legs stiffened up. He's bristled up on his back and his ears laid back. He's going to kick my decoy's butt.
Yeah.
That boy got to shoot that deer at 25 yards.
Oh, what an incredible story. Is 75-year-old grandpa 77?
77.
Oh, my.
Had never seen nothing like that and didn't realize you could do it.
Yeah, grandpa learned a bit that day,
He
too.
Did. He told me, he said, Dennis, I've never seen, he said, and I've seen TV shows and stuff like that on TV, but I've never seen anybody do that. And I can't believe I got to witness it. And my grandson shot his deer at 25 yards.
Well, folks, that's what happens at NAPS.
It does. It does. We've had a lot of good stories. And like I said, we're going to continue to do it. And as long as the good Lord gives me the health and I can still get out and do what I do, I'm going to do it as long as I can to get these kids in the outdoors. Like I said, I get so much feedback on social media and stuff like that. Or they'll even call me up and say, I got a story for you. And I let them tell me. I want to hear it.
Well, absolutely. That's one of the greatest things about being in the outdoors, man, is the stories that are generated. And I just put up a little post early this morning. Kids will remember the trips they made outdoors with family and friends much longer than they'll remember a ball game, playing Pokemon.
Or a video game.
Or a video game.
And you bring that up, that's a valid point. I got to say this. We have a mission statement that we have for NAPS about what we do. In the very first line, get the kids off the games, off the videos, and into the outdoors.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Awesome program. Dennis, man, I appreciate so much being on the program with me. Some great information. Folks, please reach out to him and try to get kids into the NAPS program. Well, from Dennis Jasper and myself, Bill Cooper, we're living our outdoor dreams. We encourage you to take some kids into the outdoors and let them live their dreams as well.
And if you take a kid into the outdoors, you don't know how much fun you'll have.
Absolutely.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, The Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Pico Lures, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, The Fallen Outdoors, Ledco Sinkers and Lure Company, Turnbow Outdoors, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Big Ed's Guide Service, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, On the Hook TV, Expedition Trailers, The Rambling Angler, Spare Rib Inn in Steelville, Missouri, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.